This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. From Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist, here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All right. Good to see you again, Mike.
Well, it's good to be seen. And walk and talk and everything else.
Are you staying dry?
Right now I am, yes.
Yeah.
When I go outside, no. It rains. It rains on me. Speaking of which,
yes.
I think it was 3 days ago, I heard this horrendous weather forecast about all this rain coming to Douglas County and flooding in the streams. And, you know, the last 2 days have been like spring, for crying out loud.
Yeah, that, you're
warm,
absolutely right.
Warm, sunny, and I'm thinking, who makes up these reports?
Kyle.
Oh, Kyle shouldn't do that. He probably gets his info off the internet.
I'm looking out the windows.
Yeah, he's probably coming over right now to get us. Oh. Well, anyway, I'm thankful for this nice sunshine here. I know it won't last very long, but it has been nice the last 2 days. It's gorgeous. And thank you for listening today. And if you have any questions, regardless of what I'm speaking about, you can interrupt and say, hey, I got this dead plant that died last spring and all of a sudden it's got new leaves and is growing and has white flowers that kind of curl around the stem. And what is it? And I'll say, I don't even have the foggiest idea, because that's what Dale asked me just before we got in the air.
Yeah, this flower just kind of came to life.
Yeah, it does. It's called a bulb. And it does that every year. It dies down and then it comes back.
Yeah, it looked absolutely dead.
And it'll be twice as nice as last year.
Yeah, it looks strong and green and healthy.
Did you plant it or did somebody
else?
No,
it was there when I moved in.
Oh, okay. Well, don't spray it with Roundup or anything like that and you'd be okay.
Bleach,
yeah. Bleach will poke it right up. But if you have a question, 673-4464 is the number, and we'll get you right on the air. You ask your question, I'll give you an answer, and then you have to decide whether you're going to follow the instructions that I give you. So it's up to you. The responsibility is yours.
There you go.
Oh, golly. This is fun. Anyway, you know, there's one way to really add a lot more value to your home, and it's, you know, new kitchen is good, new bathroom is good, but, you know, when you plant trees at your home, it raises the value, and when people come up to look at your home and they see these beautiful trees hanging around there, they go, wow, look at that, isn't that cool? And that gets them in. That gets them in the door. And after that, it's up to you to negotiate and do that. So anyway, I'm going to talk about trees again today. And I already have been criticized that I talked about trees too much, but I love trees. So they're, and I don't worship them. I just love them. And I cut them down and I use them as firewood and all kinds of stuff too. So, but did you know that there are more than 80,000 different species that we actually know about? And there might be a whole bunch more that we haven't found yet. I don't know. And, you know, that's a constant exploration of the earth and finding new species of trees and that kind of thing. And they range size-wise from the very tiny Arctic willow that are just a few inches tall at maturity. that's in the Arctic, you know, guess what kind of weather conditions they get there. It's a pretty short growing season. And to the coast redwoods, which are a lot of them are way over 300 feet tall. So from a couple of inches to over 300 feet, that's the range. So you can pick. There's a lot of, you know, if you look at all 80,000, you can say, hey, I like that one, and that one, and then go try to find them. But these redwoods, though, they can get very, very old, up to like 4,500 years old. not really. I'm talking about the bristlecone pine. That's the oldest ones. Bristlecone pine usually is a high elevation tree that grows in the tops of the Sierra Nevadas, which kind of borders between California and Nevada. And they'll appear at, you know, 8,000-9,000 feet where nothing else grows but rocks and snow, and you'll see these bristlecone pines. And the very oldest one, I think, is, I forget, 4,700 years old or something along those lines. But, I mean, that's old for a tree. That's old for anything. But they probably start around 4,000 foot elevation and then they go up from there. But they like that cold, they like that snow, and there's absolutely no soil up there, so I don't know what the heck they're living on, but it's pure rock. But that's what all that's about, I guess. They know what to do. So what good are all these trees for anyway? Why are we going to have 80,000 species of trees? Well, for starters, that's a lot of houses are built out of wood, and guess where the wood comes from? Trees, mainly Doug fir that we grow here in Douglas County, or we used to grow. At any rate, you know, there's food involved in trees. I don't know what exactly, what kind of food comes from trees, but apparently, I mean, fruit, obviously, but and nuts and things like that. But other than that, I can't think of anything else. And of course, shelter for animals and medicines. There's a lot of medicines that are made with the chemicals that come from trees. And of course, we've got timber and fuel. And then the last part of it is we have shade and beauty. I mean, you know, 100-degree day, you get under a tree, hey, it's only 90, okay, or 92. And if it weren't for trees, this would be a hot, stinking place to live, man. All the time. It'd be like Mars. and beauty, you've got flowering trees. You've got fruit trees that flower and have fruit. I mean, shade trees, giant oak trees and maple trees that are just absolutely gorgeous in the spring, summer, and the fall. So you've got all those qualities about trees that should be. A lot of people ignore this. A lot of people are kind of unaware. You know, yeah, there's some trees, and then they just go through life, and yeah, there's some trees, and yeah. And unless you're landscaping your home or have to prune some of the trees that exist at your home, you really don't pay much attention to the, you know, what's around us.
And yeah, they kind of take it for granted.
Exactly,
or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. So if you take it for granted, go on over to. Well, Bend or mm-hmm. east of Bend a ways down into southeastern Oregon.
Yeah.
and there's plenty of places down there with no trees. And if you live there for a while or just stay there for a while, you get to saying, oh, boy, I'd sure like to see a tree.
Oh, I know.
A tree with some shade in it. Wouldn't that be good?
Oh, yes.
But and also those trees, they absorb carbon dioxide, which is poison to us, and they turn it into oxygen, which we breathe and we have to have. That's how good trees are. And you know that an acre of trees will produce enough oxygen in one day to keep 18 people alive.
Wow, I did not know. Yeah. 18?
Yeah. Wow. An acre of trees. One acre, that's 43,560 square feet.
Yeah.
And if you got trees on that puppy, it's going to provide that much oxygen one day to keep 18 people alive.
Nice.
So we don't definitely want to clear cut all the trees, but we want to do logging all the time anyway. But they help. Trees help regulate water flow. Where there are trees, you have a consistent flow of water for the most part. Even if it's underground and it goes kind of dry in August, a little stream, if you dig down in the gravel of that little stream, you'll find water. Mm-hmm. And the reason it's there is because of the trees. And I think, well, how can that be, you know? Well, it is. If you go to an area where there are no trees and the stream dries out, usually you don't find any water unless you go very, very deep. So they do help regulate water. They do help stabilize watersheds, and that's extremely important to us. And they help to reduce flooding and erosion. I mean, that's, you know, without the trees, the banks would run wild. There would be lots of erosion. There'd be a lot more mud and debris, et cetera, in the streams, which oftentimes flow into a lake or into the ocean for sure.
A house.
And yeah, a house, exactly. Yeah. And then when you're sitting there on a summer evening and the breeze comes up, the trees sound good because the wind's mm-hmm. blowing through the branches. I don't know if you've sat in the evening on a hot July day and sun goes down and the breeze kind of a little bit of breeze comes up. If you've got trees around, you can hear you can hear the breeze. You mm-hmm. can, and it's because the trees exist. You know where and I've said this a lot of times. Where I live in a canyon, and I've got lots of timber, etc. And I've got a creek, McNabb Creek, and in the summer we sit outside after dinner, and it's shady, it's nice, it's cooling down, etc. And then when, as soon as the sun gets behind the ridge, this little bit of breeze starts blowing up the creek, and it's enough that you can kind of barely feel it, but it really cools. It really cools the whole place in general, but you can hear it. You know, you can see it, and you can see the leaves moving, and you can see the tops of the Douglas fir kind of bending a little bit, and
it's relaxing.
Yeah, relaxing, exactly. So that's how good all these trees are. That's what they do for us. Even if you're not paying attention, they're still doing it, regardless if you like it or not. And that's why, you know, if you got trees in your yard, take care of them, for crying out loud. If you don't have any trees in your yard, plant some, for goodness sakes.
and they'll take care of you.
And they will take care of you. They really will. And, of course, trees are great places to play. If you're, you know, 7, 8, 10, 9, even 25 years old, they're fun places to play. You can climb on them. Mm-hmm. You can build tree houses. Tire swings. Every place I lived on a ranch, we always put up a tire swing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you get some big old oak tree with a big old branch and get the rope up there, tie the old dead-looking tire on there. Not only do you swing back and forth, but, you know, my little brother Stevie, when he was smaller, I'd put him in there and I wind up the tire.
Oh,
you know,
sure.
What I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wind it up till the rope is really knotted up, and then you give it a spin the other way, and it goes 100 miles an hour in a circle, and his poor little kid's holding on.
He's all stretched out.
Stretched out. His eyes are rolled up into his head, and he's screaming, Mom, Mom! Yeah. And Mom says, oh, you must be having fun out there with his big brother.
brotherly love.
Yeah, it was brotherly love all the time. I tried to tell him that, and he never believed me. I wanted to make sure you had a good time. And, you know, not much to do on a ranch except put your brother in a tire swing and wind him up.
Let him go.
Let him go. Yeah. Hey, he held on that time. So that's how cool trees are, all right? And of course, they're very colorful. There's many shades of green in the spring. You've got trees with multicolored leaves, green, white, pink, all in the same leaf, especially if they're Japanese maples or something kind of exotic or just a regular shade maple. Works real well. They're green. They're beautiful. Mm-hmm. They provide the shade. But then the, you know, the summer goes by and the leaves kind of start to lose their lustrous green color, and then they begin to turn into their fall colors. So you've got yellows, and you've got golds, and you've got oranges, and reds, and purples, and a lot of color in between. So they're really a year-round delight. And they grow in swamps, they grow in deserts, they grow in mountains, and they grow on plains. And we need these trees to live. There's just no two ways about it. So here's a note for you.
Okay.
The tallest tree ever recorded, as far as I can find, was an Australian eucalyptus. And when it was at its peak, it measured just over 500 feet tall.
Good heavens.
Now, think of that.
I'm trying to.
A 500-foot-tall eucalyptus tree.
That's out of my calculations.
I know. Now, that's a real tree. I mean, that's a tree.
Yeah.
Think how many tree houses you could put in that, Bubba.
Now, that's a wide load.
And they don't need any care. They're just a tough tree. And just think of walking in a forest with 500 foot trees. I mean, it's crazy.
Wow.
But you know, there are many native trees that can be used in landscaping, of course, here in Douglas County, and they're pretty and they're easy. They're tough and resilient, and seems like you don't have to care for them very much, if at all, and because they're just plain tough. So for evergreens in our area, we have like Douglas fir, ponderosa pine, incense cedar, Sitka spruce, and varieties of these species as well. And for trees with leaves, instead of just needles, we have like big leaf maple, which is a predominant tree here in Douglas County.
Yeah.
We have ash, oaks, poplars, willows, fruit trees, madrones, dogwoods, and there's many, many, many more. But those are just some of the more popular, obviously, you can see a lot of those. You can go into any neighborhood and see any number of those types of trees and yards. Mm-hmm. And this is really just a very short list. And they grow naturally on our hills and our valleys, you know. So how tough? You think about Mount Nebo. It looks like pure rock on that one side, and it is pretty much. But if you look to the sides of it, and just if you're headed south on I-5, you get off on the exit there, and you hit I-5, and you go past the rocky part of Mount Nebo, and bang, you're in the forest. You're in an oak forest. There's some oak and some madrone in there, and they're growing in that kind of soil. And that's how tough they are. And they've been growing there for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's if you put one in your yard, the only thing you can do to kill it is to water it, you know, or give it some fertilizer or something. You plant it, you get a natural native tree, you plant it and stand back and say, okay, you're good to go, buddy.
It's all yours.
Do something. Do something. So they're like I say, a no-hassle, no-care type of plant that adds value to your home. Adds shade and coolness and oxygen to your home. And it's a play thing as well. Do we have a break?
We do.
You're looking anxious. I thought I'd ask that.
Gotta get it in there. Couple of minutes, and we'll be right back with Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Absolutely. We are back with more of Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show. And the telephone hasn't rang it once today yet.
Well, 673-4464 is the number to call and ask a question. It can be on trees. It can be on rocks. It can be on railroad ties.
Orchids.
Orchids, shrubs. No, don't do orchids, please. I like orchids. They're beautiful. I've killed my fair share of them, and I've learned how not to kill them, but I don't grow them because I don't understand them. So don't call me about orchids.
Okay.
Talking about trees, I know about trees. I'm good on trees. I mean, I've been around them all my life. I've climbed them. I've fallen out of them. I fell one time about 20 feet out of a tree, landed right flat on a sidewalk.
Oh, my God.
I woke up in bed. I was about a third grader, so I was about eight years old, something like that. And, yeah, I woke up in bed, and the whole side of my head was caved in almost, and we lived like 35 miles east of Yreka, California, on a ranch. Mm. Needless to say, we didn't rush me into the hospital, and they didn't have ambulance service like we got nowadays.
Yeah.
So I woke up in bed with ice packs on my head, and mm-hmm. my mom saying, "What were you climbing that tree for anyway?
You dummy?
Yeah, dummy. You want to kill yourself?" I couldn't even think or talk. Anyway, yeah. We're talking trees, and I give you a partial list of some of the native tough trees earlier segment, and Douglas fir, ponderosa pine, incense cedar, those kinds of things, and then the maples and the dogwoods and the oaks and those types of things. So. If you want something like that, that's a native tree, check out the overall size. And if you have a regular sized yard in a subdivision, maybe the yard, it can take some trees, but maybe not a Doug fir and maybe not a giant, big leaf maple or something like that. When they're young, they'll be fine, but they will turn into somebody's nightmare so many years down the road. So unless you have a good oversized yard, let's say you might have a quarter of an acre or a half an acre or something like that on the outskirts of town and you want some big trees, those are the types of trees you can plant for good shade and that kind of thing. But there are other varieties of firs and maples and oaks that don't grow as fast, grow as tall, won't be a nightmare somewhere down the road because they've grown, 75 feet and half of the limbs are hanging over your roof or something like that.
Yeah.
And that's often a mistake that people make is they'll get a very large growing tree and put it too close to a structure. And you think, well, yeah, it's 10 feet away or it's 20 feet away. Well, shoot, in 5 to 10 years, those branches are hanging over your gutter and dropping leaves and seeds mm-hmm. in your gutter and your downspouts and all that kind of stuff. And maybe a branch comes off and puts a hole in your roof.
Nice.
And so you want to make sure that when you locate a tree, that you locate it far enough away from a structure so it's not going to do some future harm to your domicile. make sure you do your research and read about, well, this is how big that tree gets. Do I want
to be a smartisile?
Yeah. A who?
No, I was just making up a word.
Well, you did. I'll tell you. You got me.
That look on your face was priceless.
Whoa. But if you want a bigger tree, and if you've got a very large yard, that's big enough to accommodate their ultimate size.
Yeah.
And be aware of your neighbors too. If you're looking for a fast growing large shade tree, be cognizant of the overall size of that tree so that doesn't intrude on your neighbor's house and his yard and his safety and that kind of thing. Do we have a call?
We do.
Oh, a call. Good.
All righty. Let's go to the call. You're on the air with Mike.
Yes. My name's John, and we live up in North Umpqua, and our home burned in the fire.
Uh-huh.
We lost every stinking tree we had. And I'm wondering about the feasibility of transplanting some larger trees, maybe even into 20 or 30 feet tall. The chances of survival and the cost and whether that's feasible.
Well, it is feasible. I don't do trees that large, but there are nurseries that will do that. They have the proper equipment, machinery to bring one that's 20 feet tall right off the get-go and plant it in your yard. Expense-wise, I don't have a clue, but I know it's very expensive. I'm not sure. Are you aware of the one they put in the front lawn of the courthouse for the Christmas tree?
I'm aware they put one in. I didn't know its height. I didn't know its cost.
Yeah, they kept the price a secret. I'm not sure what it was. But I'll bet you it's around 30 grand for that tree, planted, et cetera.
Is that
and freighted. Because it's a 30-foot giant sequoia, for goodness sakes, and you just don't grow them overnight. And you know, transport it. You'd have to have a flatbed to transport it and very large machine to move it and make sure that it was planted properly. But, like I say, there are nurseries that specialize in that kind of thing. We had a guy around here that used to do it, but he passed away probably 10 or 15 years ago, and I used to use him to move big trees for me. And he did. His name was John Tilley, and he did a great job, and I never had a problem with moving large trees. And I didn't move anything that was 30 feet, but I probably did some, you know, 18-footers, 20-footers once in a while that I can remember. But if you would call my nursery when I'm usually in the office first thing in the morning, and what I can do is look in my nursery catalog and see who does that. And if you call me, give me your name and phone number when I'm at the nursery, and I'll give you several phone numbers and names that you could actually call and find out how much and what size and what types.
Yes, that's down the road a ways anyway, but that I appreciate that. We'll probably be doing that, Mike.
Okay, well, that's Wintergreen Nursery, and it's 679-8224. And, of course, we're in the Yellow Pages and all that. And
I got it now.
Okay, and call and ask for me, and if I'm not there, they'll take a message. If you leave your name and phone number, as soon as I get back into the office, I'll give you a call, and we'll have a conversation about it.
All right, thanks, Mike.
Hey, you're sure welcome. Thank you for the call.
Thanks, John.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, 432, lines are open for you to give us a buzz here, so to speak.
Yeah, buzz. Okay.
That's an old term.
Oh, that's an old term, yes, sir. Oh, clearly. But as I was talking about the tree that you select for your yard, if it is a large tree, let's say you get a, like the caller just was talking about, you want to make sure that you're not going to be it's not going to be a problem to any neighbors if they're close by. If you got acres, it doesn't matter. You put it out there, it's going to grow, it's going to be fine. You're not going to have to worry about it. Mm-hmm. But before you select it, find out how big does it get. Does it get 100 feet tall? Yeah, it could, especially if it's a fir or pine or cedar or something like that. And they get fairly wide as well, branching-wise. And just do the research. Get a book on trees or call somebody like myself and say, hey, how big is this tree going to – if I want to get this tree, how big is it going to get? And make that determination on your placement. You know, the few I just listed earlier can get 100 or more feet tall. Jeez. In time. Now, maybe not in my lifetime, but somebody's lifetime, that tree is going to be that big. Mm. And somebody's going to have neighbors way back, you know, in the future, way out in the future. And there's streets to worry about. There's power lines. There's water lines. And like I say, if you got at least an acre, go ahead and plant one of those trees. But a regular residential neighborhood, choose a smaller growing tree, a slower growing tree. Something that's going to get 20 feet tall or 25. We got another call?
We do.
Okay, great.
We have another call, and you're on the air with Mike.
Hello.
Hi, Mike. This is Lois Saylor. I've called before. My daughter-in-law has an old grape. The house they live in is over 100 years old, and that thing's probably been there most of that time. And up until about 5 years ago, it produced grapes. They're a seedless, smaller seedless. And then for some reason, and I've been spraying it for her with neem oil, mm-hmm. and the fruit on it gets just about ripe. And it begins to mildew and mold, and they never get any grapes off of it anymore. Is there something I can put in the soil or something that would help that?
Well, one thing that will help it is to make sure that you fertilize it each year. Something that's high in phosphorus and potassium, because phosphorus and potassium not only build root systems, but they help any fruiting type of a plant to produce bigger and better fruit. Now, is it in the sun or is it shady?
It is in the sun.
All the time?
It's in the sun.
Okay.
Most all the time, yes. Huh.
And there are
without Looking Glass.
Okay, there are sprays to prevent mildew from happening as well. And there's a guy at the Farm Bureau by the name of Mark Christensen. And when I have a question,
I know who he is.
Okay, yeah. I go to him, and he's he really helps, and he really knows his business, and that's what he specializes in. So he would be more tuned into that than I would, because my grape plants don't have that problem, so I don't even think about it. And but
yeah, mine don't either.
But a 100-year-old grape, that's pretty old, and I don't know. There might be, like I say, it might be a fertilization problem. It might be that is it out in the field, or is it against a house, or what?
No, it's along a fence at the bottom of the garden.
Uh-huh.
She raises a big garden.
Uh-huh.
And
when did this problem?
She's an organic gardener, so there wouldn't be anything that she's spraying that would do it.
Okay, so how long has this been happening?
About 5 years, I think.
5 years, wow. Well, you know, last year my grape crop was bad. That was the first bad grape crop I had. They got about three quarters of regular size, and then they just kind of dried up and dropped off, and I thought it was the birds, but it wasn't the birds. And do you prune this grape at all?
Yes, I prune it every year for her. And last year my grapes were very poor too, and I usually get a lot of grapes. So.
Yeah. So try the phosphorus and the potassium, because they will energize that plant in the production of the fruit. That's the simplest
one. I'll talk to Mark and see if he can give me any indications to what to use.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for the call.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
All right, good time for a break, you say, yeah?
Yeah, you're the boss.
We'll be right back, I think, with Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show.
Yeah, he's got to get another drink.
Yeah.
Water.
Grape.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, hello, we're back again. It is 4:42, and you probably guessed it by now. This is Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, and we've been talking trees and grapes and all kinds of good stuff.
Yeah, I had a couple of good calls today, one about large trees and one about 100-year-old grapes. And I don't know, the 100-year-old grape, you know, it might be just too old. I'm not sure. But I don't know. I don't know how old grape plants, how long grape plants will live.
But it sounds like it might be the time.
You never
know. I don't know. 100 years seems to be the mark.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And now, I'm talking trees here. How to spruce up your yard and cool it off and make it pretty. You know, for color, we'll get out of we go into like dogwoods, for instance. They're a safe bet. They're not a sissy tree either. They grow slow. They're easy to maintain. No care or little care, and a dogwood will be fine. I have sold over the years thousands of dogwoods to customers, and a small percentage of them will come back and say, oh, my dogwood would leafed out and it looked good, and then the leaves started turning brown on the edges and they dropped, and I kept watering it and they dropped even faster. And I said, well, how often did you water it? And they said, well, we're watering once a week. And I said, well, that probably killed it, so stop it. It may come back if you leave it alone, if you ignore it. And, I know that's a hard thing to conceive, that you don't need to water like a dogwood because, it's fragile, far from it. Dogwoods, they can grow in clear cuts that have no shade, that have no water, that are steep ground, that the soil's not really good at all, but they grow, and they'll grow in full sun, they'll grow in full shade, they'll grow in half and half. And I know I planted them, I've seen them, I've got them growing on my property. They're gorgeous, and they've never been watered except from what comes out of the sky in the wintertime. And so they're an easy bet. If you want a pretty tree with beautiful flowers, and the native dogwoods, of course, are white flowers, fairly large white flowers, mm-hmm. and they're beautiful. And then in the fall, those leaves turn beautiful fall colors, red, orange, burgundy, and very pretty. And then they drop, and they're good for the winter. That's a good tree. It doesn't get to be very large. Probably in 100 years it might be fairly large, but in your lifetime, in my lifetime, if you got a 20-foot dogwood, you got a pretty good sized dogwood, and they will get bigger, but they're easily pruned. And that's another thing on these trees that have leaves, the deciduous types. A lot of people are afraid to prune them, thinking they're going to hurt them. No way in this world are you going to hurt a tree by pruning it. What you're doing is shaping it. What you're doing is regulating its growth, and consequently it responds in kind by having even more flowers. but if you want to branch out and don't want the native dogwood, there are many types of dogwoods available in nurseries. There's dwarf, there's semi-dwarf, there's tall dogwoods, there are pink dogwoods. There's even a dogwood with kind of a yellow flower. I bought one year just to see what it was like. It was okay, but I didn't think it was very striking. But some of the pinks are even redder and are nicer. Do we have a call again?
We do.
Oh, my goodness gracious. We're getting
slammed. Overloaded.
No. Overloaded. I can't think that fast. Hello.
Hey, thanks for hanging on there. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Thank you. Mike, I love you talking about all these things. It was wonderful. Question for you. A really wonderful bloomer is a flowering crabapple, and there are some crabapples that will actually bear fruit, right?
Oh, yeah. They have these little tiny miniature crabapples on them.
And have you ever known anybody that was actually eating those little guys? I knew somebody. I had some jam made from one, and they were delicious.
Yeah, you can make jam or jelly from them. And I remember as a young kid, I would eat one or two, but you wouldn't take more than two bites because of the taste. And then
well,
you might even get sick to your stomach. Yeah, they're a little sour.
Well,
a little tough to eat.
Do you have an opinion about the best varieties with that kind of intention to try to accidentally get an edible crab apple?
Well, I really don't. Number one, I don't either stock or sell very many crab apples, so I haven't done a whole lot of research on them. Flowering crab apples are different kind of ball game.
Yeah.
But your standard crab apple, not a lot of growers actually have them in stock because it's not what you call a popular tree. So consequently, they don't.
Well, it wouldn't be.
No.
Yep.
And
everybody that finally bites into a greener or a so-called ripe one says, "Well, I'm never going to do that again."
Exactly, because your lips get paralyzed from whatever's in it. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I've done it. Now I'll never have to do that again.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah. Okay, Mike. Appreciate the help.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call.
Bye-bye. Right. Thank you. All righty. We still have time for you.
Yeah. Well, who? For me?
Yeah. For the listeners and their phone calls.
Oh, the
and
listeners
questions.
At 673-4464?
Yeah.
You
got it.
You bet. You keep reminding me because sometimes I forget to give the phone number, you know, like most times.
You know, I mean, okay. I'll keep you reminded.
Anyway, we're talking about dogwoods, and then I got, after the native one, I said, well, there are other varieties of, quote, domestic or hybridized dogwoods that have different colors. People like the pinks. People like the deep pink, light red, if you will. Mm. They're a very, very pretty tree. They do very well in Douglas County, and they'll never be a hassle or a problem unless you plant them too close to the house or a garage or a fence or something like that. But if you got the space, hey, they look good, they bloom, and it's, again, it's a no-hassle tree. Once it makes it through the first year, you can ignore it completely, and it will do its thing.
Nice.
and you can just enjoy it. So, but like I say, if you want to branch out, there are many types of dogwoods available. So it's and here in Oregon, they do so well. It's just like the perfect climate for them. So it's go for it. Now,
should we take our last break?
We got another break? We just had one, for goodness sakes.
I know, and it looks like we had another phone call, so we'll be right back with more Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
The thickest thumb in the West struck again there.
Who?
Well, this caller has been holding on. I hope they are still there. Are you still there, caller?
I am.
Well, thanks.
Woohoo!
Now you're on the air with Mike.
Yeah, Mike. We got a dogwood from you probably maybe 4 years ago. It was about 4 foot high, and it's probably, I don't know, 7 feet high now.
Good.
But when we planted it, we didn't talk to you guys about it, but we planted it in the corner of the yard at the grass in the corner of the fence there.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets a shot of water every day because the sprinklers come on.
Uh-huh.
Will that thing eventually die because it gets too much water? We water the sprinklers around about 12 minutes every morning.
12 minutes every morning? Well, and the sprinklers, are there primarily for the lawn or your shrubs?
Mainly for the grass. We don't have we've got azaleas in front of the tree.
Okay, well, let me give you a quick lesson on watering lawns. First of all, 12 minutes a day isn't really helping anything. If you're going to water a lawn, do it once a week for about a half an hour at least, or 40 minutes, and that way the water can get down into the root systems of the grass and really help. But the flip side of that is 40 minutes on a dogwood is probably not going to be too good for it. Now, is your soil clay-based, or is it fast-draining, or?
Yeah, I'm out here in Garden Valley. It's the red clay with the rocks and stuff in it.
I see. And when you planted the dogwood, did you modify the soil at all, or just plant it in native soil?
No, we just dug a hole, and we had some kind of soil mix. And then the gals at the nursery, they gave us a jug of something and said, give it a slosh. But I don't remember what it was. We gave it a slosh, and it grew.
Okay, well, you must have a good hardy dogwood. Does it ever, it's grown well, looks healthy?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so why change anything then if it looks healthy? Other than I don't
green leaves, and I think it's got either white or pink flowers in the spring, and
you don't remember.
They fall off, and then it's good to go. We had our lawn guy kind of trim it a little bit, but it it's pretty much it's just a little tree.
Okay, now and the sprinkler is it shooting right into the tree area, or is just kind of overlap from the lawn area, or what?
Well, it's at the corner. There's a sprinkler lined up with it, and it has to go about probably 25 feet before it hits it. It's a Rainbird sprinkler that gives it some water, but I think they're set on 12 or 15 minutes, something like that.
Okay. Now, so that Rainbird, you can adjust that. You can tone down the range. Well, tone down the range so it's not hitting the tree directly, and I'm sure you'll be okay.
Okay, I'll give that a shot then. Thank
you. You're sure welcome. Thank you for the call.
Thank you, sir. Okay, I don't believe we got time for another call.
We don't. What's wrong with this? Yeah. Let's have another hour here. Let's go. Let's have an all day seminar on lawns and gardens.
Sure, I'll go for that. Hey, Kyle.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, I'm going to talk. Yeah. I'm going to talk about. We got time for. I'll talk about one more tree here. A leaf tree that is an evergreen at the same time, and it's also native to our area and grows everywhere. And it's called the madrone.
Oh, the madrone tree. Yeah.
Yes, it's a crazy tree.
Definitely good firewood.
Oh, that's the best firewood in the world, for crying out loud. But they have round green leaves, and they're a large leaf. They're hard to find in a nursery, but you can buy them if you can locate them. And we've got them all over our hills, always in sunny locations with no water available. And they are related, but basically they're so like first cousins with the rhododendron family. I didn't know that until I was doing some research on them.
Interesting.
Yeah. and the large green leaves are very pretty and has kind of a dull reddish bark. Mm-hmm. So it's a colorful tree in that respect. And then it has small creamy white flowers in the spring. And
I don't know if I ever noticed.
Well, they're not really showy. I mean, if you know what you're looking at, you can see them. But if you're just driving by, you'll miss them because they're a very small flower. But what you notice about what happens when the flower loses its petals, etc. These turn into like a berry of sort. And
Oh, that I have seen.
Yeah, okay. And the berries in the fall are like orange red berries, mm-hmm. and they're all over. You can tell that that had a lot of flowers because there's a lot of red orange berries.
The deer seem to love it.
Well, I was wondering who eats them, but you know, whether it's squirrels or deer or bears or whatever, but. In all my years of business, this is interesting, in all my years of business, only one client had requested a madrone for her landscaping. And I said, oh, you want a madrone in your yard? She says, I love them. I want one. I said, well, they're hard to grow. She said, I want one. Okay. So after a lot of research, I finally found a nursery up in the Willamette Valley area that grew them. I thought, okay, expensive, I'll tell you. But I told the lady how much it was going to cost. She said, I want it. Mm. So I went up there, and it was a very nice-looking tree, and it had a whole bunch of them. I can't remember the name of the nursery, but it was like south and west of Salem, a couple miles. Mm. So I know what exit I took, and I could find it, but I can't remember the name.
Don't you hate that?
Yeah, I do. But it's been, you know, 3-4 years ago. So anyway, I planted it in this lady's yard, and in the 3 or 4 years it's been in there, it's practically doubled in size because she comes once a year and says, hey, I want you to do some stuff, and we go and, you know, check everything out. And it's beautiful. And she lives in a cul-de-sac, and it's up on one of the Sutherland golf courses, so there's a lot of houses up there.
Yeah.
She's the only one in that entire subdivision that has a madrone in her front yard. Nice. And we had to build a tremendous mound for her because I didn't want it to get, because there's a sprinkler system in there. So we built at least a 3-foot-high mound from the surrounding area, and it's on a slope anyway, so that's what we planted in it. But we did some work for the summer, this past summer, and it was gorgeous. It was healthy. It was thriving. She was so thrilled about this tree.
Nice.
But, you know, normally that doesn't happen because madrones, they like the wild stuff. They do well in nature all by themselves.
Picky.
Yeah. And like I said, it's the only one in her entire neighborhood, so it's good.
Mm.
And madrones are noted for their excellent firewood, and not for landscape trees. I mean, that's the deal. Now, on my place, I have several old madrones, two that I know of. I haven't walked every square inch of the place, but they are 6 to 7 feet in diameter.
Whoa.
That's how big they are. Their limbs are 2 and 3 feet around. You know, the side limbs that come out. They've been there, I don't know how many years. And I'd say they're close to 100 feet tall.
Mm.
And I thought when we had the snowmageddon, I was dreading. I went up the hill, and I got a skid road, so I drove my little Kubota thing up there to see. And they hadn't dropped a branch. I mean, there was Doug fir and all kinds of stuff that were laying on the ground, and this madrone, it was just going strong, looking good. And that one, and then I got another one higher on the ridge, which is a lot steeper to get to. But they're doing beautiful.
Nice.
They're a tough tree, and you can grow them in your yard.
Can you trim it and use it for firewood?
Oh, yeah, I could, but I'm not going to touch it. I don't want to hurt it.
There you go. Well, where are you located at, Mike?
We're out on Highway 99 just south of Winston, about a quarter of a mile. Big green roofs on all of our buildings. You can't miss us. Come and see us. We'll help you out.
All right. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.